It is 77 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:07, and it is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. That's my name, and I'm here with you once again. I tell you, we have got a great, great program planned for you today. Lots of good stuff. And always by my side, with me, ready to take over the microphone whenever I pause for just the briefest of moments. We're talking about that wonder producer himself,
Michael Loudon.
So you're getting better at anticipating that. You know, it's, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, yesterday I almost jumped in early about three times.
You jumping in early? No!
That would never happen.
So we're ready. We're here, ready to do some stuff for you. Of course, when we dig into topics here in just a little bit, I want to remind you that you've got the opportunity to be a part of things by giving us a call. 382-4280 is the local phone number. If you are not local, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's fine wherever you are. If you're not local, we've provided a way for you to be a part of the program as well by calling us toll-free at 877-382-4280. Also, 80373 will put you through to us so that you can text us and be a part of the program that way. Now, a little bit later on in the program, one of the things that I wanted to dig into, because there's been some polls that have come out on some of the various races, particularly for the governor's race and for the Senate race. And we look at these every now and again and try to read the tea leaves, as it were. So we're going to do that just a little bit later on in the program. Also, if we can manage to get to it, the VA. There's been a lot of talk over that over the last several days. And we'll try and wade through the tall grass on this one, because this is an issue that should infuriate all of us. It really should. And I think, you know, to some degree it does for a lot of people really infuriate them. So we want to spend a little time on that with you about that. Before we get to that, though, we are going to be talking a little bit about the minimum wage again, because the House and Senate have acted, and, well, we'll dig into it. We'll talk about it. We've talked about a lot of it, but you know what? It's the day when we get to react to what's been done and what's happening ahead. Some interesting stuff coming up on the horizon. Before we get to all of that, though, I want to remind you of some other things that we're going to be doing. Movie tickets. I am your source for movie tickets. Michael is the one that's standing in your way.
Yes, I am.
See, now, if we get this all clarified, I'm the one that wants to give you tickets to things. He's the one that wants to ask you dumb, stupid, ridiculous questions about it. So, what we're going to do a little bit later on in the program, we're going to give away four tickets to a brand new movie set to come out this weekend, A Million Ways to Die in the West. Kind of a Western comedy type thing. So, the best way to describe it. Four tickets. It would be for Celebration Cinema in Portage. Great place to go see a movie, and we're going to give those away, assuming that Michael jumps on the opportunity to ask you some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question, which I think will probably be coming because, you know, he's just that kind of guy. So that's coming your way. Also, want to remind you of the video of the day. You know, with these videos, there are some creative elements out there, and there's one that has been out there for a little while. The movie title, Breakup. This is a couple that sits down to dinner, and their entire conversation, where they proceed to break up, it consists of nothing but movie titles. And to help you on the video, when they mention a movie title, the movie poster goes up. So you know, you can check the whole thing. It's great. So the only thing it goes to prove is you can have entire conversations in movie titles.
They didn't have Star Trek in there, though. I mean, come on.
Well, in a breakup. Are you going to mention Star Trek? And
Wrath. I'm going to bring out my Wrath of Khan. That's the only one that I could have came up with that would have went with that.
You know, somehow we can't necessarily. Sci-fi doesn't make it into the whole mix. You know, I mean, you know, about the only thing is, and I don't think they mentioned Contact. They could have.
No, I don't think they did.
They could have. But, yeah, I'm just, I can't really think, you know, okay, Revenge of the Sith doesn't work in there at all.
No.
Attack of the Clones. Yeah, that one's not going to work. So, yeah. So, Sci-fi doesn't work so well in there for some reason.
I guess not.
You know, but maybe someone someday will come up with the nerd version of this. That's the only thing you can think. And Michael will be right there, one of the first people to watch it.
Yes, I will be.
You can guarantee it. So, anyway, check it out. It's our video of the day, the movie title Breakup. It is in the blog section at WKZO.com. It's below the news area on the website. Also, an easy way to get to it is by going to our Facebook site. And that link is at the top of the page at WKZO.com. And if you've not liked us, please do so. We would love to have you on board to be a part of the mix at our Facebook site. All you got to do is click on the little F at the top of the page, hit like, and then you'll get our videos of the day and everything else that we do right there in your news feed. You couldn't ask for much more than that. Free lunch, certainly, but Michael's all tapped out this month. So, you know, we're done there.
I'm tapped out for what?
Paying for people's free lunch.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, you know. I've tried to get him to pay for my lunch, and it still doesn't happen. So, anyway, one of the things that we wanted to dig into, because the minimum wage, we talked about it here on the program yesterday, and it's amazing to me how we went from, well, the House has a deal on the table, to, hey, guess what? There's an even bigger deal on the table. Well, fast forward 24 hours later, and here we are talking about the aftermath of the whole thing. I didn't think for a second that it would move that fast.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, they talked about, yeah, we're going to get this, and the governor's going to be able to sign it. And uh-huh. Okay. Good luck with that. But imagine my surprise. Imagine your surprise when you hear the announcement today that, guess what? It's passed. It's done. It's over and done with. We've voted on it. There it is. And, you know, you can go down the list of, and you know, an area of lawmakers that voted on this. Sean McCann was for it. Margaret O'Brien against it. Tanya Shoemaker against it as well. Those were the ones, the highlights that jumped out at me on the list of people that voted both for and against. I think the interesting thing about this, and one of the things that Margaret O'Brien had talked about in comments she made earlier, was talking about, she was a little worried that there wasn't this idea of finding ways to get job training and that kind of thing for people. I had hoped to talk with her today, and we just have not been able to make the connection at this point. But I think, you know, that job training idea, I mean, there's some merit there. I think, though, looking at how they did this, you know, they basically pushed it off by a year and said, well, what if we did 925, but we did it by 2018? And they just start slowly bringing this up over the course of time. Then there's been another question, and I think it's a legitimate question, is they've said, well, all right, we're going to raise it by September. And there have been some people that have said, why didn't you raise it right now, as soon as the signature was put, you know, as soon as pen was put to paper? I kind of understand why they didn't. You know, I get that. You want businesses to be able to be ready and adjust for this. At the same time, having even a small increase by September, that's going to be a bit of a change for business, and they're going to have to be able to deal with this. The interesting thing about all of it, though, I found this to be the most interesting thing, and just goes to prove that what I've been saying on these airwaves over and over again, for some people, it's not enough. Now, they passed this $9.25 an hour, and this is going to be by 2018. They've passed this. It is the law in the state of Michigan. You would think that the people behind the ballot initiative would go, cool, we got at least something through. We're going to have something that we can at least, you know, be proud of being a part of this push to get this done. Because let's face it, without the ballot initiative, nothing would have been done. If that ballot initiative was not there, the legislature would not have acted. So you'd think that they would have been happy that, you know what, something has been put together. Something has been done for this, and, you know, we call it victory. But Raise Michigan was, they're saying, it's not over. The battle's not over. They're continuing to say, 10-10 hourly. Gotta be that, nothing else. Now, they're talking about that. I guess they want to turn in their petitions for a law that no longer exists, which I find that kind of interesting.
They probably just wanted to turn them in and say, hey, look, we got them.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which is nice.
But why? You're not changing anything. What's been done is done now. But, you know, to me, it's just kind of the ultimate thing of just basically saying, yeah, you know what they did? Yeah, we'd like to do our own thing. So forget it. Yeah. And, you know, something has been done. Without this group, nothing would have been done. Nothing.
Yeah, they helped push this thing along. Lawmakers started creating the bill, and then we compromised.
And I think it's the ultimate example of how, you know, the legislature reacted to something that was out there. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the people are speaking, we're seeing some popularity behind this, and the legislature said, all right, well, we need to act on something. And so they put something together. Whether or not it's good and the right thing to do, I don't know. I really don't know. My gut says that they should have taken a little bit longer on this. That's just my opinion. So I'd love to get your opinion on this as well. Before we do that, though, as if by magic, Margaret O'Brien is with us. Margaret, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great conversation you've been having so far.
Well, we're doing our best, and I'm glad that you got the opportunity to get through us today. I know we were at least attempting to hook up with you, so I'm glad that you're on board here.
Thank you for working with me.
Now, with the minimum wage bill, it's the minimum wage law, I guess, at this point, because it has passed. The governor signed it. I know you were against it, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, more in depth, if I could, about some of the job training and that kind of aspects, because for you, that was a very serious thing that you wanted to see in this.
Well, think back to our childhoods. And our first job, we got paid minimum wage. And frankly, it was because many of us didn't bring any previous work experience. We didn't have any particular skills or training. And so our first job is really what helped us gain the skills that we needed to move through the workforce. And I think the point has been entirely missed that nobody should be raising a family on minimum wage. The focus, there's unanimous agreement on that, but the focus has been, well, we should just change minimum wage. Minimum wage doesn't change what special skills or training that somebody has. It just increases the cost. And I'm worried that when we're talking about families who are struggling to survive on minimum wage, we're missing the most important way to have a positive impact on them. And that's to get them training or retraining, more education. When you arm them with more skills and talents, then they can start commanding a higher wage. Otherwise, just increasing minimum wage, we're just going to increase the cost of buying food, making products, and living in general.
Well, I think, you know, one thing, and maybe this is just the opportunity now presents itself to be able to put something together along those lines, because, you know, I tend to agree with you. There needs to be a way to be able to say, all right, there's got to be a training aspect to it. And, you know, and certainly, you know, and I can remember back, I mean, you know, my first job was washing dishes at a restaurant. And believe me, it didn't take any skill. But, you know, I think there's some other elements to that. The idea that there are some people that really need retraining because, you know, sometimes there's those jobs out there that just don't exist anymore. Is that something you might be willing to look at as well?
Definitely. You know, one of my brothers recently went through KVCC and he was retrained. He had been in an industry that was on the decline and his skills were no longer transferable to the technologies of today. So we went through a program at CVCC, got a special certificate in which they took the talents and skills that he had and updated them or taught him how to transfer them to a new industry. Mm-hmm. And now he's in an entirely different industry, making almost 80% more than what he was making before. And, you know, just so people don't get confused, I do think we needed to do something about the minimum wage. That was clear. Mm-hmm. But when we think that just by increasing a minimum wage, we're going to solve poverty, well, the last time minimum wage was increased, we didn't solve poverty. I really want to take a holistic aspect at this, especially having grown up in a poor family. I understand what it's like to live on limited means.
Now, we're speaking with State Representative Margaret O'Brien. Margaret, I think one of the things that I was frustrated, this whole effort that came together, the idea of it almost felt like you were hearing a different figure every single day. You know, the Senate came up with 920, and then, you know, then we talked about 850, and then we talked about 9 1/4, and of course 1010 was out there. And I think the thing that I found frustrating, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, but I kind of wanted to hear, all right, how is that going to impact business if that's the rate that gets enacted? I really didn't, I didn't feel like that was addressed terribly well.
So much of the conversation seemed to be about, we got to get this done quick. What's something that we think we can get the most votes for right away? And I was concerned we weren't having the broader-based discussion of where's that delicate balance of encouraging entrepreneurship and ensuring we're not over-regulating business, combined with how do we arm our struggling citizens with the tools they need to be able to provide for their families? And I worry that we missed the big picture. You know, when I was in high school, the minimum wage was under $4 an hour. Well, today it's $7.40. We still have poverty. Just moving a number doesn't solve the problem. Moving a number can address some of the inflationary costs. But I worry that it was such a quick attempt at a fix that we're going to have some struggles. Can you imagine owning a business where you're really the provider of a job for people entering the workforce? So every year, you're going to have a different minimum wage. So what do you do with the person who started last year? Do they get a double bump? Do they leapfrog over what the new minimum wage is? Or do you just increase them to the minimum wage? There's a lot of debate that hasn't happened about some of the things that were done. And like you just mentioned, I'm extremely worried about the unintended consequences. And having two teenagers who one has a part-time retail job and the other one has a seasonal job and is looking for a full-time job, I worry with 26% unemployment rate, what's this going to do to their job?
Well, and I think, you know, all told, the one thing that didn't get mentioned a lot, and I know, you know, we talked about it a lot here every day, but I think the one thing that doesn't get mentioned a ton is the idea of increased cost, and not just for a business, but for the rest of us. Because, you know, guess what? When we go to buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk or shampoo, I mean, it's kind of something I don't buy anymore. But when we go buy these things, the costs are going to go up because of this.
When you think about, you know, the law said that each year it would be indexed to a 5-year average of the Midwest state's inflation, which over the last 10 years, hovers right around a 2% a year. So 2% a year increase in cost. In most companies, their number one cost is payroll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in manufacturing, you might have a number one cost being equipment, but most people, it's payroll. And we saw that with the last minimum wage increase. There were companies that decided to turn away from having things processed by people and figured out how to have it processed by machines. I don't want people to lose jobs out of this, and that's why I worry that we were so focused on a timeline rather than what's the best policy. And I respect my colleagues who felt maybe the timeline was the more important issue, but for me it was really about finding the right policy that would promote job creation, but that would also take into account that we need to partner better with our local educational and training vendors, and that we also need to look at where are the gaps that we have in our community so we can help people climb up that wage ladder.
We're talking with State Representative Margaret O'Brien and discussing a little bit the minimum wage and that kind of thing, and that was one thing that I wanted to dig into, and you just kind of hit on it there a little bit. you know, I think, you know, we understand now this has the governor's signature. It's a done deal. What's the path forward at this point? What kind of bills do you look to put together? What kind of things do you try and legitimately try and reach across the aisle to try and create that might help alleviate some of these problems?
Well, we have a bill that passed out of the House that's currently in the Senate that provides more flexibility for graduation requirements in high school. Specifically, back when you and I went to high school, we were allowed more vocational education. And I think about one of my really good friends who graduated high school with her license to cut hair. And she's been a tax-paying citizen since she was 18 and graduated high school. Those kinds of opportunities don't exist as much anymore because there's such strict graduation requirements. And so I'm hopeful that the Senate will pass in short order the bill that the House has already passed to allow for that flexibility, because we do have students who can graduate and become immediate participants in a strong high-wage workforce. But because of some of the graduation restrictions, they've been left out. And I'm talking about people who, they're not ready to go to college. They're not college bound. Mm-hmm. Man, they definitely have some talents they can bring to the workforce.
Well, and that's one thing when you talk about education. I mean, college is not for everybody, but it almost feels like that's what they're trying to push everybody towards.
It is difficult. You know, so much when we think about what goes into education planning, some of the things that we would think would be natural to discuss isn't discussed. What's the cost of college? You know, I've got two kids who are getting ready to go off to college, and cost is a big factor for us. And we weren't going to just send them to any college or the best college. We were going to find one with a quality program at a price that we could afford. And so, you know, one of the things we have to figure is cost. The second is, what is it they ultimately want to do, and can they get a job in it? You know, I told my kids, if they wish to have my money, they needed to be finding a profession where they could support themselves. I want them to explore and to dream, but you can't explore a dream and be broke.
Now, that's very true. It's very true. Well, Margaret, I'd love to chat a little bit further, but we are just about a minute away from the news. But I definitely thank you for calling in just as quickly as you did so that we could talk a little bit further about this. Because I think, you know, this is, while we've gotten past the vote on this, I don't think the issue is passed. And I think, you know, we're going to see some results down the road.
I totally agree. And if anyone thinks that the problems have been solved because minimum wage has gone up, then we have really failed the struggling families who are trying to pay bills and care for their loved ones.
Okay. State Representative Margaret O'Brien, thanks for calling today. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
And there you have it. There's not much else to be said there. But minimum wage, it's with us now. They've passed it. But what does the future look like ahead? Just not too sure. Scratching my head on that one.
We'll just have to see and find out.
We're going to keep the conversation going. We're going to be talking about the weather here in just a little bit with Bob Larson. Make sure you keep it right here. -78 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:39, the Jeremy Lawrence Show in full swing here at 590 WKZO. Just a couple of notes to, you know, some programming notes to let you know about. If you're wondering, Tiger Baseball happens tonight. And by tonight, I mean really tonight.
Really late.
Yeah, it's a late game. 9:40 is when they get underway, doing battle in Oakland with the A's. Apparently, it's going to be a midday special in California tomorrow. Of course, that translates to a 3:10 start time for the Tigers and A's tomorrow. So no program tomorrow because of that. And then Friday, they head to Seattle, where 9:45 start. So it's another one of those West Coast trips, you know. But good baseball and that kind of thing, just to keep you aware in case you weren't aware of what was going on. And if you're not, well, you know, there's something wrong with you. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, we're going to be talking weather here just a little bit because, you know, the weather is looking pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And towards the weekend. And, you know, I know we talked with Bob yesterday And he mentioned that things were getting better. And, you know, I got to admit, I think it's panning out. So I'll be interested to see what he has to say here in just a minute or two. And a little bit later as well, I do want to dig into some of the polling data that has come out on various races, because there have been some interesting things said, interesting things done, and the polls seem to indicate not much has changed. So we'll chat about some of that and take your phone calls about it. Of course, a little bit later in the program, when we take your phone calls, you can always call in at 382-4280, 877-382-4280, and you can text us at 803-73, and we can chat about what you want to chat about. So anyway, that is on the horizon for you. Right now, though, on the horizon for us is, I'm assuming, great weather, or at least pretty darn good weather from what I could tell. Am I right, Bob Larson?
You are correct, Jeremy.
Man, I tell you, there's nobody in this world that I'm more happy with right now than you, Bob. I just got to say.
Not all the news is so good, huh? Mm-hmm.
But at least the weather's looking decent.
Absolutely. Now, it's fairly cloudy across the area right now. Likely to stay the way into this evening, but the overall trend is for improvement as skies clear out overnight, and that leading the way to at least a partly sunny Thursday, kind of a blend of sun and clouds, and very comfortable. And by the time we get to Friday, it looks to be just sunny. Ditto Saturday, and still at least partly sunny on Sunday. Looks like our next shot at any rain will not come until Sunday night and or Monday.
Okay. Now, with all of that weather, I'm sure you've prepared a word for us.
I have, and the word is enjoyable, because it looks to be an enjoyable stretch of weather coming up here, a stretch that will take us from the end of May into the start of June, crossing the bridge into the first summer month of the year.
There you go.
Going to gradually be warming up. Next couple of nights on the cool side, lower 50s tonight, again tomorrow night, upper 70s tomorrow, at or just above 80 Friday, probably lower 80s Saturday, and looks like mid-80s by the time we get to Sunday.
Now, Bob, if I may, I mean, you talk about that it's going to be a while before rain returns and that kind of thing. I know we've talked about we've been a little below where we need to be rain-wise. Is that still true? And are we to a point where we worry about that, or is it just kind of a mild concern?
It is still true. It's not alarmingly below normal at this point, although we're certainly going to add to that rainfall deficit over the next few days. So by the time we get to Sunday, we will be more significantly behind average. But I can tell you that once we get to next week, with that chance of a shower or thunderstorm Sunday night or Monday, that might be the first of what could be at least three, if not four, consecutive days of sporadic showers and thunderstorms, speaking of next week now. So next week, while probably don't want to hear about 3-4 days worth of showers, it looks like we're going to be catching up on some of those rainfall totals then.
Okay.
Until then, we sit back, wait, and enjoy the nice weather.
Okay, so you have Bob Larson's permission to go out and grill out, or well, you probably couldn't tan yourself under the clouds, but here in a couple of days you'll be able to do it. So, I'm assuming that we have your blessing for that, Bob.
Yeah, you know, full permission.
Yeah. Yes, all
as
right.
If I could stop you. Right.
It's kind of like giving Michael permission to go running. He just does it.
Yes, it's true. I just go run.
No coaxing necessary or permission.
No, not at all. In the wintertime, maybe more of a struggle, but during the spring and summer, nah,
not
at all.
Not so much, no.
No.
He's one of those nuts that in the wintertime actually does run.
It's tough, but I do it.
Okay. Well, dress accordingly.
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, Bob, I appreciate it. We've got baseball tomorrow, so we won't be able to chat with you. But then coming Friday, we're going to be talking about some of the numbers.
Very
well.
Quickly before I go, last week you were speculating as to whether or not I was in line for a four-day weekend. I said, of course not. I am this time around. I'm not here the next few days.
Uh-huh.
So I will be back on Monday. We will not have a chance to review numbers on Friday.
Okay.
We'll push that back to the next Friday, which by then we should have added rainfall totals to discuss. But until then, I'll be out of the office until Monday.
Okay. Well, this seems kind of inappropriate to say today, but I'll say it nonetheless. Bob, you have yourself a great weekend.
Never too early to wish someone a nice weekend. Thank you.
All right. Bob Larson there from AccuWeather, keeping us posted and up to date on what the weather looks like. I hope he enjoys himself.
Yeah, I certainly hope he does.
No guy more deserving of getting out enjoying some of the great temperatures and that kind of thing. So
maybe he'll hit the golf course.
You know, maybe he will. I don't know. And once he hits it, maybe he'll actually play.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, you know. All right. So you ready to give away some tickets?
I'm definitely ready.
Darn. Okay. We're going to go ahead and give them away. This is A Million Ways to Die in the West. That's a brand new movie coming out this Friday. It's kind of a comedy western kind of thing. Apparently Liam Neeson's in this.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
I was not aware of it, but he is in this. We've got four tickets. Celebration Cinema in Portage. Great place to see a movie. And great food as well. Just refreshed my memory on what the fries taste like there just the other day.
They're really yummy.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Great seasoning, the whole bit. It's fantastic. I could go on, but I won't. What I will go on and do is give away some tickets. What we need for you to do, if you would like to win four tickets to go see this movie, which opens Friday, just give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280.
All right.
Okay, all right. I guess you're going to want to ask a question now, aren't you? It's not that simple. They can't just call. There's a trivia question involved.
Yes.
Okay, so the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question you've got to answer, coming from Michael right now. I hope this is easy.
Oh, it's very easy.
Gosh.
We know Seth MacFarlane is going to be in this movie, too, and he's the director of it. So this question is related to him. What animated TV show made its debut in 1999 that Seth MacFarlane created?
Yeah. I have to think about that. Okay. So if you can come up with the answer to that, you will win tickets to go see this movie. And as we continue ahead, you know, polling data has come out, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. The governor looking pretty good right now. We'll tell you why as we dig into some of these polls and take your phone calls as we continue ahead. The Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Seventy-eight degrees in Kalamazoo. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Well, we had the opportunity to give away some movie tickets and make someone's weekend. And Michael, who was it that we just altered their weekend plans?
Jack from Portage.
All right. I don't know. Well, maybe Jack was planning on going to the movie anyway, but we just made it free for him. So, you know, one way or another, we're taking care of him.
Now all he has to do is pay for some food, but doesn't really have to pay for the movie now, so he's good to go.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, we make some plans easier that way. Mm-hmm. So now, in case you're wondering, all right, I missed out on tickets. Well, you know what? I got a pair of tickets we're going to give away on Friday. So we're not going to be here tomorrow, otherwise I'd do it then. But Friday, I've got a pair of tickets. So if you feel like, I missed out, you know what? There's more. There's more, because I'm just that kind of guy. In fact, I'd like to give them to you right now, but I can't. Michael won't let me.
I just go over there and take him right away from you, Jeremy.
Yeah, you know, he's just that kind of guy. So anyway, there was a trivia question and answer that went with that. So for people that are dying to know, and most of them already know anyway, but you know what? We'll humor them. And so go ahead and, share that stuff. Go for it.
What animated TV show made its debut in 1999 that Seth MacFarlane created? And the answer is Family Guy.
All right. You know, I was tempted to drop a hint for that one, but I thought, you know what? No, because most people, myself included, and I don't watch the show. I've seen it once or twice, you know, but most people probably knew that one, I have a feeling.
What would your hint have been?
I don't know. We just have to figure out what family of shows that's in, you know. We can narrow it down, you know, maybe if we had a hint about one guy that
there you go.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. So there you go. I was just, I don't know. I don't know where that was going. Anyway, want to dig into some of the polling data that's come out lately, because I think there are some things here, and particularly in the wake of the minimum wage debate, that's over and done with. The ballot proposal, it's toast as far as that goes, because what, are they going to put it on the ballot so that you can approve something for a law that no longer exists? Yeah, not going to happen. Anyway, but so that's over and done with. And I think looking at the governor's race, one big question comes out of it. Polling data, this was a Detroit News WDIV-TV poll. They had Governor Rick Snyder holding a nearly 10 percentage point lead over Mark Schauer, his Democratic challenger for governor. And I guess, you know, the thing, and, you know, we'll dig into the Senate numbers here in a little bit, but I think the one thing that interests me now is to see, after the minimum wage thing got passed, that's over and done with, ballot proposals off the table. For Democrats, the question has got to be, now what do we do?
Now what do I run on?
Yeah, because, I mean, the minimum wage, that's over and done with, you know, and that was something that Mark Schauer brought up and ran on, and I'm sure that to a certain degree, he'll end up taking credit some way or another, even though he is not in a position to be able to do much about it other than advocate for it. That said, though, even with that, there is a 10 percentage point difference between Governor Snyder and Mark Schauer, which begs the question, is there a way that Democrats can make him into someone attractive that brings voters to the polls? Because you knew that the minimum wage thing, that was going to bring voters out to vote on. Even if they voted on just that, they were going to come to vote. Well, that's not out there now. That's not something that that they're going to go be able to dig into. And really, with some of the other races, you've got Rick Snyder in a pretty good position, 10 points. If that holds up, there is nothing about this. This is close. Now, on the other side, you've got Gary Peters and Terry Lynn Land. Gary Peters has an advantage of 4.3 percentage points. That is just outside the margin of error. And basically what it is 39.6 to 35.3, 23% of likely voters are undecided at this point. And that's one thing that you got to say, all right, well, there's more work to be done there on both sides. And if you see particularly Gary Peters and the way that his campaign is going, even though they're in the lead at this point by 4 percentage points, they're campaigning like they're behind. That's kind of the way that they've approached it. Terry Lynn Land, I'm scratching my head going, okay, you don't hear much from them. And it surprises me a little bit that you don't.
No, just a couple of ads here and there, and that's really about it.
And she doesn't make too many public appearances, which that, I'm scratching my head over that one as well.
Maybe she's waiting until after the primary is done, and then she's going to come out and campaign.
I don't know. Given that she doesn't have a primary opponent and he doesn't have a primary opponent, it kind of, you get to the point of going, well, you know what? Now's the time. I guess, you know, that's my gut reaction. But I don't know. So in this particular thing, I mean, because Gary Peters, yeah, he might be a draw to the ticket, but he's not at the top of the ticket. So how do you end up getting Democratic response to this election? Because that's one thing that they've been concerned about. And now with the minimum wage thing gone, that draw is not there. You know, and you're not going to be able to do it with the dueling wolf hunting proposals that are out there that apparently are set to be ballot initiatives, depending on what kind of signatures they've got. I mean, that one, it's not an issue that's mainstream for the state of Michigan, I don't think, anyway. There are some people that would disagree with me, and that's fine. But that's just my 2 cents worth. But I'd love to get your angle on this. What you think? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. You can also text us, 80373, and be a part of things as well. Let's head over to the phones right now where Martha's standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Martha. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go right ahead with your thoughts.
I'd like to talk to your listeners about my friend Mark Schauer.
Okay.
I've been privileged to know and to work with on a direct basis with Mr. Schauer since 1993 when I was employed by Family and Children's Services in Battle Creek. He's one of the most experienced people we have around. He has built some bipartisan consensus when he was in the state legislature, and it was congressman. I feel like I can go to Mark with a lot of different issues, and he is up to date. But I want to tell my favorite personal story about Mark Schauer. His experience speaks for itself, but his actions speak louder. In Mark's first campaign in 1996, they took a group of students who were volunteers from Battle Creek Central to put them to work on the campaign. Mark mentored these kids, and one of them was a sophomore at the time, really indifferent about his schoolwork, but Mark, you know, kept encouraging him, and he actually gave this young man a summer job and, you know, helped him out on weekends, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This young man entered Michigan State University and graduated. While he was at MSU, he decided he wanted to become a lawyer. Three or four summers ago, he picked up his law degree from Georgetown Law School. This is what Mark Schauer did to help an impoverished young black man from the northeast section of Battle Creek, Michigan. This is the Mark Schauer I know,
Martha,
all of your listeners to know.
Martha, let me ask you a question, since you know him pretty well. I mean, you see this polling data. There's a 10-point difference between Mr. Schauer and Mr. Snyder.
Different at different times.
Well, certainly it has, and polling data will be different at different times. But the bottom line is, it seems like Governor Snyder remains in a position on top of the polls pretty much every time that you've seen a poll. He's been on top, and comfortably so. When do you get to the point to say, all right, more work needs to be done to be able to, you know, get people to understand what a candidate stands for, what he's about, and that kind of thing? You just haven't seen that much from Mr. Schauer at this point.
Well, I believe that the three ads that the Democratic Governors Association ran were very effective, and they had much more to say than the counterpoint ads that were done for Mr. Snyder by the Republican Governors Association.
Wouldn't you say effectiveness could be measured in polling data? Because it doesn't seem like they've been very effective in getting people to even know who he is.
No, I think they have been effective. And again, there was about a 3-point gap at one time. And that's considered too close to call.
Well, a lot of that, too, depends on what polls you're looking at as well. Martha, I do appreciate your phone call. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it. And we continue to talk about the numbers, because I think there's a lot more to be seen in some of these numbers. We'll take your calls as well as we continue on 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.